Visits to Extraterrestrial Civilizations by Antti Johnson. Translated from the book of Antti, the Contact Person, and Soon Hjorth, published in Sweden by Zindermans Förlag, in 1989, 149 pages. Introduction. This story is about a man from Sweden who in the 80s, was contacted by people from another planet, but the primary contact girl who appeared later, apologized for the strange way they tried to get his attention and getting started on the agreed contacts. Something he did not remember consciously, as it was from the so-called subconscious mind. But despite the clumsy start, it gradually began. Antti Johnson writes about his first strange meeting. On the night of Friday, February 3, 1984, I was on my way home in the car from my friends in Indelstad to my home in Tingsryd, about 20 kilometers further south in Sweden in southern Småland. It was snowing heavily, and the temperature was 0 degrees centigrade and the road was quite slippery. I drove at a speed of 70 kilometers per hour, but slowed down to 60 kilometers per hour near a road where it had happened accidents involving crossing moose and deers. I was not far from Urasa airfield. On the outskirts of a meadow, on the left side of the road, I suddenly saw a dark, small figure. My first thought was that it was someone on their way to Urasa or Vakulsang. In the middle of the meadow I saw a large black object, what appeared to be hanging in the air about 10 feet above the ground. I slowed down and estimated the object to be 70 to 80 meters long and between 5 and 10 meters high. The shadowy person that I had just passed was suddenly gone. I cranked down the window to listen, but did not hear the slightest sound. A thought popped up: the camera. I pressed down the button to take a picture of the object. It could have been a helicopter or an airplane. No, it could hardly have been, for neither the size nor appearance fit. At home in Tingsryd the light was off in my house, but my wife was awake and she told me to lock the garage. I told her that I must take my camera and go back to Vakulsang to photograph a flying saucer or something similar. While I was heading towards Vakulsang at a high speed, I thought there was chance that I could get my life's most important picture. Arriving at the meadow, I found to my great disappointment that the object had disappeared. But when I drove up towards the road to Urasa to turn around, I saw something I never thought possible. I slammed on the brakes so hard that the car spun around a full turn on the slippery road, and suddenly I stood with the car lights directly at the object, which stood still in the middle of the road with the nose facing towards me. Since I could not get past, or around, I tried to turn to the left. I got another slap, uncontrolled swing, rotation, on the car so that I was about to collide with the object. Anyhow, I ran up into a snowbank, continued across Urasa Road and got stuck in the snowbank. Unable to reverse the car, I opened the door to get out to see how badly I was stuck. Next, below, is told how they tried to get him into their craft by force, but on a later contact, the space girl Jenny, which was his primary contact, excused for their wrong method used in this, their first attempt, to get him into direct physical contact with him. First meeting. Headlined, I was caught by a robot-like creature. I have never been afraid or scared easily, but what I saw when I opened the car door scared me to more than anything ever has been, and before I could catch my breath again, but then I yelled as high as I could, I screamed. I saw a creature, and it grabbed me and tried to lift me out of the car. I kicked and screamed for my life, and somehow I managed to escape and I ran to a house some distance toward Urasa Road. Then suddenly another creature appeared in front of me, and the same thing happened again. It grabbed me, while the first one grabbed me from the behind. I tried to get loose again. I hit wildly around me and saw one of them and what I looked like it was a head, but they were just as black as the craft, so I saw no face on any of them. Anyway, I tore myself away again and ran towards the house. Then a third creature appeared in front of me, and the next moment I saw the craft again, hanging about 10 feet up in the air. Now all three were on me and we rolled around on the road. As I understood it, they wanted me to go into the craft. Then I saw that they did not have any legs. They sort of hovered in the air a few inches above the ground. I was paralyzed with fear and with no resistance on my part. We were heading for the craft. What happened next I do not remember, maybe I fainted. When they finally released me, we all sat very still and looked at each other. Then I saw the lights of a truck which was heading in our direction. I started running towards the road, but my legs did not carry me. But I crawled on. When the truck drove by, I saw how the creatures disappeared backwards and upwards, and I crawled over to my own car. I noticed that I was cold and wet on my feet and saw that I had no slippers on. Then I began to shake and felt some strange tingling in my hands, and an unpleasant feeling in the throat. Then I do not remember more, until there was someone outside the car. Later I learned that it was the police. I have a faint recollection that they talked to me. Then I lost my memory until I woke up in the street Siegfried's Hospital in Växjö, the nearest city. After pondering what had happened to me, I regretted that I did not go with them voluntarily into the craft, if I had not already been in it. But I acted as everyone else would do in such a situation. And another thing I remember that was strange, I can't understand why it was so quiet. The only sound had been a barking dog. I've read that UFOs emit both light and sound, but this had been, as I said, quiet. No light was seen, nothing but the blackness. I want to tell you some of what happened at St. Siegfried's Hospital while I was there, but it was all so horribly ridiculous that I hope no one ever would have to experience anything similar. It was so humiliating. I and the other patients were treated as if we were 3-4 years old. It is clearly much that needs to be changed in the Swedish healthcare system. Released from the hospital, I was called to the criminal investigation department in Växjö, where I went through questioning. I will tell you what happened. In the end I was on the crime scene, that's all that happened. I wonder why they did not do any investigation of the places where everything had played out. They gave me a strange result to say the least. They claimed that I had not been through what I told them, but had been there in quite different matter. They claimed that I was spy, as I had a camera, and there were some military bases nearby. What other issues they took up with my wife. At home with her, the police had the preposterous idea that I was a spy, hired by someone, to go and shoot at Urasa Airfield, which is a military base. I know they took my camera that they found in my car. They had been interrogating my wife about what I was doing out there in the middle of the night, and if she thought it was strange that I was not home at night. She did not know, as I quite often photographed night scenes. But the police insisted that I was spying on military installations. But as I said to them afterwards, if I had wanted to spy on military defense installations, I know a lot more places than Urasa Airfield. I naively thought the police were there to help people in situations like this, and not go after other members of the family with incorrect and rude statements. Intro comment: they tried a new way of contact. It meant trying to encode him on a subconscious level their wish for contact. And comment by Rune, and his book goes on. The first time I met one of these strange objects was about a month ago. I was still thoroughly frightened and worried. But ever since it happened, I had a strange feeling that I would meet them again. Several times when I laid down to sleep, it was as if someone was calling me, and it has happened a couple times a week. I have become restless and unable to sleep. I had to get up and walk into the kitchen and lit a cigarette to calm me down. If it was too difficult, I've gone out for a ride. In recent weeks I have felt that someone wants something just before I go to bed. I told my wife that I would take a walk around the block before going to bed. I have not told her why I go out, because she would probably laugh at me. After the first meeting with them, as I call my friends from elsewhere, at that time both the police and doctors contacted my wife about my so-called ideas, therefore she does not believe what has happened. I don't blame her, because I can hardly believe it myself, it's all like a dream. On the night of March 6th, I woke up to someone grabbing me. I thought it was my wife, but she was asleep, so I turned over and went back to sleep. But again, someone grabbed my left shoulder. I sat up in bed, and again felt the strange feeling that someone was calling me. I went into the kitchen as I had done so many times before, but the feeling that someone wanted something from me became even stronger. I dressed and went out into the street. I stood smoking under the street lamp when I saw a person in the street a bit further up the road. He was bareheaded and wearing a long, black coat or cloak. It was as if he was calling on me, but without any visible sign. I do not know why I walked towards him, but it felt as if he wanted something. When I moved, he was gone. I thought that I had imagined the whole thing and turned to the right. When he showed up again a bit further down the road, I walked towards him, but he moved even further away, but not as far so I could not see him. But, my God! He floated in the air, because below his what, I saw no feet. When he was under a street lamp, I could see that his face was almost pure white and impossibly long. He stopped near a meadow which was about 600-700 meters from my house. He turned and walked into the meadow, and when I came to the meadow, I saw for the second time in my life, a big, black craft that floated in the air, and beside it stood another one of them. Inserted here is drawing or picture of the long, thin fellow Auntie made. I don't know why, but I felt quite calm. I stood for a moment and looked towards the object. Then I caught sight of the tall man again. He was standing in front of the craft, which looked the same as last time, though much smaller, maybe 10-15 feet long, 5 meter, and about 3.5 meters high. I could not see any legs or wheels, just something like pontoons on a seaplane. I think the height above ground to 2-3 meters. No movement was visible. It was dark and sinister in color, no light or window appeared. I heard a faint rustling sound, and the man disappeared, then it was quiet again. The craft rose slowly straight up, and then moved towards me and stopped 15-20, 3-4 meters, feet above me. Suddenly the craft lights came on. They were a faint blue-green, and in the middle, all white. Then the lights were switched off. Something now happened that made me breathless. I found myself suddenly 25-30 meters up in the air, in a standing position, without being able to move or yell, but I saw everything clearly. I did not hold on to any wires or the like, and there's no one holding me. It felt like I was standing on firm ground, but there is nothing under me, but the trees. Inserted picture of light elevator. How that could happen, I have no clue. The voice inside me said I do not need to worry, and I try not to. But, when freely suspended high up in the air without having anything to support me, and not a soul in sight to shout at, it took no more than 10-15 seconds, until it stopped and I slowly sank down, and they placed me between a rock and the flowers in my own garden. Now I saw the craft again. It hung just over a birch tree some distance away from my garden. At the same time I saw four bright spots of light, the size of tennis balls, approaching from above, sinking down to the craft, and then they hovered around it. Now these small balls were significantly higher up and seemed to be perhaps 3 feet in diameter, with the main craft in the middle. It looked like the fifth on a cube. When the balls of light approached the craft, they shone bright white, to finally get a yellow-red color, but still with white crosses in the center. The craft did not stop, it set off down towards the lake, which lies 600-700 meters to the south. Strangely enough, the lights did not follow the ship, but sank slowly down towards the ground, where they resolved. I went inside my house, undressed and wondered what had happened, but I did not say anything to my wife. This last on the light elevator demonstration. Similar stories are told in many of such contact experiments. For example, the story of Enrique Rincon in the early 70s near Bogota, Colombia. Travel to an unknown planet, 840426. It happened again. I woke up one night by someone calling to me. I went outside, to see the same man, or shape that I had seen before. I followed him to the same place where I last saw the craft. I had the same calm and nice feeling, but with one important difference. When I saw the craft this time, I could see windows. They were 2 meters long and 25-30 centimeters wide. Inside the craft it was lit with a blue-green light with some shades of brown. But there was seemingly nothing solid, and it seemed to be moving in waves. Suddenly I saw a bright glow coming towards me that grabbed me and pulled me into the craft. When that happened, it was so wonderful and amazing that I hesitate to write it down. I found myself in a place that mostly resembled a large glass ball, with one half opaque, and a quarter of the second half had a dull but transparent glass. After a while, I felt that somebody was in the room with me, though I could not see anyone. At the same time, I felt it vibrating under my feet. When I looked out of the window, I could to my horror see that we no longer were on the ground, but a few kilometers into the air. I tried to talk, but could not. In a strange way, it felt as if someone asked me to be quiet and sit down. I looked around for a chair or something to sit on, but found nothing but a bench in the strange window, so I sat down on it. But imagine my surprise when I was seated, as it somehow surrounded me and sucked me in and held me. Comment: apparently a sort of force field like a car's safety belts, as those were probably not equipped with a force field neutralizing all kind of inertia, like more advanced space travelers seem to have according to contact cases, as those of Sam Jays or those of Daniel Fry. Rune comment, and story goes on. Now, the vibrations became stronger and the window was no longer translucent, but it was still the same soft light in the room. It must have been about 2 hours since I came into the craft. Suddenly he stood in front of me, the short figure that I had seen before. Now I saw his face for the first time, yes, I saw all of him. He was 150 to 160 centimeters tall, had a normal stature but longer arms than me. His hair was colorless, and it covered his face, for I saw no ears and no chin. Can it be only much beard? Rorem, two large eyes that were almost black, a flat nose with no visible nostrils, and a sharp and large mouth. I saw no teeth. The whole head was globular in a slightly comical way. He looked almost a bit sad, but calm and gentle. He stretched out an arm to me, and in his hand was something that looked like a cup with some liquid in it. It resembled heavily diluted milk, the color was slightly grayish. His hand looked like mine, but had no fingers. He wanted me to drink. I hesitated, but he insisted, so I did what he wanted. It was not very good, it had an insipid taste, but still sweet. I asked what it was for, but got no response. Inserted drawing of the 150 to 160 centimeters, small ET. Instead, he turned towards a wall, and suddenly a bright picture was visible. Screen, imagine my surprise when I could there read words in Swedish, that, and, then, now. Comment Rune. In nearly all such contact cases, the extraterrestrials' contact teams have usually learned the local languages and have made long or at least some preparations for the communication. The more advanced races have also translating devices that work both ways when talking by speech, but most use a kind of transferring of thoughts directly into the mind. Later, the contact lady that became his primary contact told she had followed him for many/30+ years. In some strange way, I also got information transmitted to me by a Swedish-speaking male voice. It felt as if I heard the voice from inside me, rather than outside. On the screen, is a strange map image with circular symbols of different sizes, and in green and blue, and a voice said that there are other planets in our solar system where there is life similar to ours, but with higher intelligence and knowledge. They have, amongst other things, an ability to travel or move in space which we are not capable to do yet. We could, also, travel much faster if we use the loops in space, whatever that means. We should also give up nuclear weapons and heavy weapons, before a disaster happened. Inserted picture of ET symbols. This was the last I heard, because suddenly the man was gone and the room got dark, but I could see normally again. I thought that I was down in the meadow again, but I was not. Comment: seemingly a kind of 3D movie was shown, so real as living in it, as also frequently seen in such cases. Admittedly, I saw a forest, some rocks and something that looked like a city. Though it was not like our cities, neither their houses, streets and cars. It looked like it consisted of a bunch of box-like buildings of different sizes inside a circular high and wide wall. In the center stood a sort of tower, shiny as chrome, and in an open area at one side of the city stood two similar vehicles like the one I found myself in. Inserted drawing of house. On another planet which was 100 to 150 meters high and 50 to 60 meters wide. We moved slowly over the city and then over a kind of desert, on a forested mountain range. I saw only two kinds of trees in the forest, one reminiscent of larch and the other some sort of palm tree with large brown bunches of branches. When we had passed through the woods and mountains, we came to a big ocean with tongues of land that went straight across from one side to the other, and on every tongue of land, was a lot of towers with a boat-like building in the middle. It was the last I saw. Then we flew straight up, and I could not see out of the window anymore. The vibration was back and also the man I had met before. I had to lay down on that strange bed again. I think I fell asleep, because I thought a long time had passed before I again stood in my garden. I saw how the ship flew off down to the lake, but I got the feeling that we would meet again. Inserted here was drawing of trees on this planet, where text here says that the sizes of the trees was about same as our. The ground was of brown alternating yellow. The second travel into space, 840814. It's been nearly 4 months since I last met him, so I thought my meetings was over. Maybe the whole thing was just my imagination? But then the same thing happened again, the same inner voice that called on me. I and my youngest daughter had been sleeping for a while, when I woke up because he wanted me to come. I hesitated to leave my daughter alone, but the voice said to me she will sleep all the time you will be gone. I would not leave her, but did it anyway. Same road, same meadow. This time I went into the craft by myself, through a circular opening. Up some stairs, into the same room as previously. But to my surprise, when I entered the room, there were four figures there. Three of them was like the short-statured man I met last time, and the fourth was probably the same person that I saw once before in the street. He was taller than the others, and had a white face that was similar to humans, but it was a slightly narrower and longer, with white hair. He asked me to sit down on the self-fitting bench that sucked me in place. As I sat down, a fifth figure came into the room and gave me a jar with the drink that I had before. I wonder what it was, but said nothing. I still got answers from the pale man. He said I have to drink it, because otherwise I could not make trip we should take. I wondered what the drink was, but said nothing. Still I got an answer from the pale man. He explained that we must travel to the same place as we went to, the last time, but I'll be back home. Before morning, he wanted to show me some things that we here on Earth have entirely misinterpreted. I ask why me, and not someone else who might be more appropriate. He answered that there are others who have experienced the same things as I, and that it will be more people still. You are one of the many who have a different belief than most people on what you call Christianity and history. I answer that there are thousands who do not believe in God. He said that deep down, most of us believed in God, though dared not show it. He wanted to show me what the truth was, about our God and Jesus, as we read and hear about. He would also show me what would happen if we insisted on producing and using nuclear weapons. How can you do that? I ask, while I felt that we had lifted off and are on our way, away from Earth. I will show you evidence of self-destruction. There were people living on an almost identical planet to Earth, with the same level of people. They began to manufacture nuclear weapons to fight each other. It started as on Earth, a war between different groups of individuals, and it ended with almost all life wiped out. What's that today, is only the vegetation and a few stations that we built trying to rebuild a new civilization. This is what we will show you. So you will understand what you are doing to yourselves and your planet. Others have already seen it, and now it's your turn. We have studied your society, for thousands of years, and the same pattern is forming as it did in the planet of the Delephs. Comment, have not heard that planet or civilization mentioned in other contact cases, but from the other information in this contact, it may be what the Samjays contacts mentioned as a group of the refugee planets of the old Lyran-Palladian wars in this part of our galaxy, as also the both Earth and the Sirius planets was a part of. Rune comment. What you call God, interpreted as physical God or leader, was a Dilef who put his son on the ground to tell you that you are barking up the wrong tree. He was not the only one of the Dilefs which were placed on earth. They were in many other places as well, but was not known as Jesus because he did some forbidden things to heal the sick. It was not surprising because his father was a doctor on his home planet. When this happened, it was from a planet already way ahead of you in all areas. Inca's ancestor was a Dilef. In India and in southern Europe, there were also several Dilefs. They taught not only in righteousness, but also a way of building that is forgotten today. He asks me if we someday could use stone in the same way as they did in the Inca Empire and Egypt in ancient times. If we could cut out rooms inside the mountains, making surfaces as smooth as glass. You have not learned to cut stone in the discs, but when you find what you call Atlantis, then your whole civilization will change in a few years. I will reveal to you that both the Incas and other ancient cultures used such machines in most of their work. They got their machines from the Dilefs. You do not find traces of them, but these can be found in Atlantis, and also of the Incas and a few other places. I asked him if there were evidence all over the world from their existence and from the Dilefs. Yes, but you have not yet learned to read and interpret all the signs and things that the Dilefs left behind. I also asked about Atlantis, how it was, and where it is now, but got a very strange answer. Start looking in your history, but interpret it right this time, so you can find it. Locate not only the country, but also outside Pharaoh, so you get a straighting point. I felt that it had ceased to vibrate, and it had become bright in the window on the wall. I recognized the place from the last time and wondered what would happen now. He said that we must change vehicle for it to be recharged. I wondered if I could go out, and it was apparently not a problem. Once out, it felt like summer at home, comfortably warm, but the air was much drier. We went through a tunnel and found ourselves out on a street with the inhabitants and those strange houses on both sides. I could not help but touch a wall, for they were so smooth. He said it's rock and metal. We have the same metals and stones as you use for your buildings, but we use a different alloy in our metal. Shown a destroyed planet. We arrived to a different vehicle and went inside. Now I will show you a destroyed planet, something that also could be your fate. This time I did not sit up, but had to lie down on a similar coach that I was on before. I think I slept for a while, because I do not remember anything from the moment we lifted off, until I was asked to sit up and look out. What I now saw was a horrendous, especially as we can do the same to ourselves on Earth. Cities that are almost buried in rubble and sand, buildings and forests that are soaked with water, broken in burned and molten metal. The bad thing in all of this, is that it is similar to what is found in our own soil. He says, it is no wonder if it is similar to earthly things, for it is the Dilefs who have taught you how to build what you have, and who gave you the technology and science. The only thing that they did not have with them were animals that you can see here. I see that they are buildings of stone, which they cut out of a mountain, and then put on a metal construction. A large boulder taken from the mountain to the site, with something like a barge. But it hovers in the air and are then lifted as by an invisible hand down on a platform, where the rock is placed between two large machines that looks similar to tanks. It flashes from both of them, and this way they are divided into several flat pieces. They then lower one by one into a basin of water, and it smoked when they are put into the pool. We will build a new city here, he says. I wondered when it would be ready, for with this speed it should be ready in a week. About a month, he replied. We continued to the other side of the mountain, where he showed me the place where this whole holocaust had started. Now it was just a big hole with sand and gravel. There had been a facility as large as Skane, with energy supply for half the planet. So now you know what might happen if you do not stop in time. I asked him what I could do about it, and who would believe me if I talked about what I had seen and heard. There are so many on Earth who are against your experimenting with nuclear weapons, so you can manage to get your leaders to listen and understand that they are planning for their own destruction. We cannot do anything to help you, because if we would show ourselves, as we have done several times, we would be forced to defend ourselves.